God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read along with us, we're going to Acts chapter number 3, continuing our discussion on Sunday nights in the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 3, the last discussion had the church growing every day. They were having church from house to house, and the Lord was just adding to the church daily. Every day, somebody was getting saved. Man, wouldn't you love for that to be the case? Every day, somebody was praying through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But tonight, we start in Acts chapter number 3. The Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." Amen. May the Lord bless you tonight as you're seated. I want to talk to you about getting away from that gate. Getting away from that gate. This man sat daily at the gate to the temple. That gate called Beautiful. If you have your Bibles and you want to keep them open and read along with us, I think there's some important things as we look at the model of that first century church and see what God was doing for them. Notice verse number 1, the Bible says, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. I think it is entirely important that we focus the fact that they were still together. Much is said in Acts 2 and 1 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. Much is made later on at the end of Acts that they were still in one accord. Much is made in Acts 4 when they had the prayer meeting. They were all in one accord. But yet here we see Peter and John are still together. How many knows your spiritual walk really is blessed or hindered by who you're around? Let me go a little bit farther than that and say, how many can tell your spiritual condition by who you want to be around? When you're really wanting to be spiritual, who do you choose to be around? And then when you're not very spiritual, is there another person that you want to be around? Oh, you're not going to help me tonight, are you? I'm not preaching on anybody in this church. I'm talking about the church down the road. Notice I pointed that direction. Peter and John went up together. I think it's also important to realize that there are no encores. There are no grand finales in our walk with God. I mean, think about it now. Can you imagine the emotional turmoil is not the right word, the emotional expenditure that these disciples just went through? I mean, they were in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost exploded in the city of Jerusalem. I mean, you know what most people, what preachers and apostles and prophets would do today? They'd have a book out. They'd have a best-selling DVD series out. They'd have conferences everywhere telling you how to repeat what happened and what happened and eyewitness accounts. But notice Peter and John, the next chapter, they're going back to the house of the Lord. That there are no grand finales, that there are no encores with God, that we never ever get to the place where we can start building monuments and just start building monuments as trophies and we're not going to go any further. That we always come to those places where we build monuments, but monuments are not trophies to always brag about, but they're stepping stones to greater things in God. When the past becomes greater than the future, we're headed backwards. There are those that will always glorify the past and thank God for Azusa Street and thank God for the Welsh Revival and thank God for Acts chapter number 2, but I was not there. And it's wonderful to surmise and to read about, but how many say, I need Pentecost in my own life? I've got to have the moving of the Holy Ghost. And the wonderful thing about the power of God, the way that God moved in Acts chapter number 2, and the way God poured out His Spirit in Los Angeles at the turn of the 1900s, is the same way that the power and the Spirit of God has been moving around our church the last 6 weeks. I got news for you, friend. I think the power of God is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. That God just needs a group of people that are hungry and thirsty, and just like Peter and John, that say, Lord, thank you for what you did yesterday and thank you for what you did last week, but it's another day, and we've got to go back to the house of God. We've got to go get another blessing. We need more power. And really the reason they prayed so much is because they were doing so much for God. They were giving so much out, they had to go get something to put back in. And maybe the reason we're trying to have, or maybe some people have so much trouble trying to allow the Spirit of God to get in, is because they're not really letting the Spirit of God ever go out. So why would He fill someone that's not using His Spirit anyway? Someone preached about the Dead Sea Church because everything flows in. I don't want to be like that, do you? The power of God moving into our heart and our life is for service, to work for Him. Peter and John went up together. Do you have somebody you can call on? They can go to the hour of prayer with you? I mean, really, do you have somebody you can call on? It's important to be able to have somebody that you're partnering with. The Bible tells us that one can put 1,000 to flight. You can win some battles by yourself. But if you can partner with somebody, that if you can get with somebody that has that vision, what did the Bible say? One can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So Peter and John are going up to the hour of prayer. It's the ninth hour. They prayed 3 times a day. You remember Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And so this is approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if we understand the Jewish day correctly. And this is probably the third time they've prayed today. They probably prayed at 9. They probably prayed at noon. And now they're going back at 3 o'clock to pray. And as they enter the house of the Lord, the Bible says that a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. I want to talk to you tonight about getting away from that gate. You see, here is this man that is at the gate. He's too in to be out, but he's really too out to be in. He's really, who was it tonight? Brother Jonathan testified and talked about trying to serve both. He was trying to balance between the two. He was trying, he was too in to be out and he was too out to be in. So it was with this man. He was on the verge of the blessings of God. I mean, he was within feet of the temple of God, but he was also so far away from the blessings of God, he'd never walked a day in his life. He was so close to the temple and the power of God, but yet he was so far away that miracles were taking place all around, but he was still being carried everywhere he went. There's a lot of people in the church that are that way today. Would you agree with that? You carry them from service to service. You carry them from revival to revival. You carry them from camp meeting to camp meeting. You carry them everywhere they go. You remember the day and the hour when you decided, "Hey, I want to get away from this gate. I'm tired of being right here and watching people come in and get blessed and leave. Come in, get blessed and leave. Give me a few token coins. Amen. What I really need is I need strength in my legs to get up and walk. I don't want just some tokens to get through another day. What this man needed was something that would turn his life around. He needed to get away from that gate. I got news for you, friends. Silver and gold could not do it. And all, but we're serving a God, amen, that this man who had never walked before, this man who was carried everywhere he went, this man who had never had strength in his legs, amen, God was going to do something this day, amen, to show forth that his hand was upon that early church. He was going to begin to validate that church by showing forth miracles. Amen, God, do it again. Amen. In a day of erroneous doctrine, in a day of apostasy, in a day of backsliding and falling away, amen, how many say, God, let our assembly, amen, let our church, amen, let our group of people be a place that you can validate that you're still the God of heaven, that you're the true and the living God, that we're tired of just trying to masquerade and we're not content with just going through the motions of going in and out, in and out, in and out, but we're really ready to find some people that have never walked a day in their life, and by the power of God that is operating on our life, by the time the sun sets, they're going to be shouting in the house of God. Amen. Wouldn't you love to have to scoot over and make room for somebody to sit down on that pew with you? Wouldn't you love for a coworker to come right in here tonight and you to have to make room for him? Hallelujah. I would. Thank God I would. Amen. Wouldn't you love, amen, for your son or daughter that you're praying for? Come on in and sit down right there on that pew with you. How many believe God's able to do it? How many believe God's really able to do it? Devil will tell us the days of revival are over. The church's finest hour was also their most persecuted hour. We could stand a little trouble every now and then if you didn't know it. How many found trouble will send you to the throne of grace? Trouble will stir you up, right? And so they're encountered with a man that is at the gate, beautiful, but he's got an ugly situation. He's so close to a church called Beautiful, but he's got an ugly problem. The church is not a museum of perfected people. It never has been. It never should be. It really shouldn't. I really believe that there are people that would receive Jesus tonight. But sometimes we invite the wrong people to church. We really do. You go up and find somebody that's got all the money they need, that's got plenty of fuel in their nice car, their electricity bill is paid, they're comfortable with their salary. You're going to have a tough time convincing them their life's a mess without Jesus. Isn't that the parable that Jesus told us? He had a dinner one time and he couldn't get them to come. Who couldn't come? Well, the man that had some land, had some possessions, and guy was married. Who came to Jesus' dinner? Here they come. The halt. The lame. Isn't it amazing the ones Jesus got to come to his dinner? The withered. The outcast of society. The Bible tells us the common people heard him gladly. How many love to think tonight that the best soloist this choir has ever had is not even saved yet? I would, wouldn't you? I'd love to think the next Sharon Brock of the Holiness Movement's not even got saved yet. You! I'd love to think the next fiery evangelist and the next anointed pastor in our movement is not even saved yet. Hallelujah. Tonight they may be far out steeped in sin. They may have some kind of terrible addiction in their life. Amen. But friend, the right word. Amen. Knowing their life has taken them to the bottom. Amen. I called a man the other day. He was on my heart. He's visited our church a couple of times through the years. First time I ever called him in a spiritual way whatsoever. Out of the blue, I called him. It literally shocked him. I don't know him very well. It took me a half hour to get his phone number from somebody. It literally shocked that man. You know how people are when the preachers call. Everybody gets spiritual all of a sudden. It's like me and Brother Greg was coming back from Alabama one time with some plants, and we had a flat tire in Tallahassee. And it was late at night, wasn't it? It was 10 o'clock. It was dark. You ever been to Tallahassee at 10 o'clock at night? Yeah. Rough place. So we're trying to change that tire, and a police officer, I don't remember if he's Tallahassee or seemed like it might have been state, I don't remember. He pulls up. Man, he's just, you know, he sees us in that truck and trailer. He must just think we're just workers or what, a construction guys. Man, he starts with a, he's ripping them off, man, like a sailor. Finally, who are you, what do you do? Well, I pastor a church of God in Savannah, Georgia. Man, that guy went from the devil to an angel in a heartbeat. Ask Brother Greg. He did, man, like that. Like that. Matter of fact, he went over, popped the trunk on his police car. He started getting teddy bears out for my kids. He did. Things they had been given out to the hospital. He said, take these home to your kids. They'll want one of these. I mean, when a preacher comes around, people get really spiritual real quick. But you know that man the other day, as far as I know, he's never been saved. As far as I know, he's never really given his heart and his life to God. I don't know if he'll ever come to this church and get saved. But I know when I called, God had his attention. He said, just the other day, I told my wife, and he told me two or three things, and I felt like I had a scripture for him, amen, that was dealing with some of the things that he was talking about. I don't know if he'll ever get saved, but I know when he stands in the day of judgment, amen, there was at least one opportunity that he had to come to a full gospel Bible-believing church, and he knew that Jesus would save him. And no matter what he had done, that the Lord could be the Savior of his life. Amen, friend, I'm telling you. Amen, it doesn't bother me if they come in and they got tattoos and earrings. It doesn't bother me when they come in and they tell me what they've been out and done. Amen, that's what a sinner does. Amen, they sin. Amen, but the blood of Jesus. I said the forgiving blood of Jesus. When a man knows he tries the devil's best, and it leaves him at the bottom, and he's empty, and he's broken, and he's hurting, and he's limping, and he's withered, and he's crippled, and the world says you're useless. Why don't you just kill yourself? But the church comes along and begins to lift him up and tells him Jesus died on the cross. I gotta believe, friend, that there's some folks that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we be bold enough to share God's word and let the gospel of Jesus Christ shine outside the walls. Hallelujah. This man's never walked, but God's going to turn his life around. You know, sometimes we're guilty of what Peter shows us, the example of what not to do. We want to sit around and talk about what we don't have. But he said, such as I have. What do you have tonight? If you encounter somebody that is at the gate, they're not in, they're close, they're not in. What do you have? Do you have some joy you can share with them? Do you have some joy you can share with them? Do you have some good news? What did they say if you don't have any good to say? Don't say anything at all. Brother Rich preached at the preacher's meeting about getting the right message out. Our message is about Jesus. It's about the cross. The way that God has blessed recently, it ought to be easy to witness for the Lord. Amen. Isn't God helping us? Thank God for what He's done. Thank God for the wonderful move of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God that is touching our hearts and our lives. But God's just not blessing us to bless us. No, He's not just blessing us so we can feel good. There's folks that need help. Amen. This week you're going to encounter people, amen, that are down. And notice what Peter and John did. They began to lift Him up. Amen. There's the message of the church. They lifted Him up. They didn't put Him down. They didn't put His nose in it. They didn't just know, friend. Amen. Talk about what He'd done wrong. Or talk about His handicap. But they began to lift Him up. Amen. That's the message of the church. Amen. To the sinner, get up. Amen. Get up. Dust yourself off. Amen. Say like the prophet, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Amen. Jesus told the disciples, amen, forgive them. 70 times 7. Amen. Keep on forgiving them. Keep on lifting them up. And the good thing is, when they began to lift this man up, notice what your Bible said, that immediately strength, amen, began to come into his ankles and into his feet. But not until the church began to lift him up. Amen. The sinner needs to know that we love him, that we care about him. That person that's down, they need you to lift them up. And when you begin to help them up, amen, get ready, friend, because the power of God is going to touch their ankles, going to touch their feet. And by the time we're done, this man is leaping and he's shouting and is walking and praising the Spirit of the living God. He just needed somebody to help him up. Help him up. He didn't need a praise team to tell him. Come on now, it's time to praise the Lord. He didn't need anybody up there telling him it was time to have church. He didn't need anybody up there saying, hey, can I get your attention? Yeah, you might want to go ahead and praise the Lord right now. No. When you realize what God has done for you. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. How many say God's been good to you? How many believe He's worthy of praise and He's worthy of glory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every service, every time. But notice it hit his feet, the foundation. When you get your feet right, when you get your feet planted underneath you, when you can get your legs underneath you, you can take a few things. Amen. When you get your feet set right, amen, you can take some trouble. You can take some trials. When you got your feet on the rock, when your feet are wobbly, when your legs are loose, amen, you're not going to stand. But when you get your feet on the rock, that's why David said, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. Hallelujah. When Jesus picked me up out of sin, how many have had some trouble? How many have some trials? Amen. But you're still here and you're still praising the Lord. You know why? I said my feet is on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. I got away from that gate. I wanted to be healed. I wanted to be free. I wanted
wanted delivered. I did not want to be lukewarm. I didn't want to be in and out. I didn't want to be wishy-washy. When I got saved, I made up my mind. I said, I made up my mind. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I got my feet on the rock, and my mind's made up. Amen. That's what the songwriter said, was it not? Amen. I got my foot on the rock, and my mind is made up. Throw my head in the air. Look, the devil, square in the eye. Where's your feet tonight? Are they on the shifting sands of this world? Or are they on the solid rock, Jesus Christ? Get away from that gate. You're never going to be happy sitting right here just listening to the reports of everybody else. Not going to do it. You're not going to be happy being carried from camp meeting to camp meeting. Can I just go ahead and preach to you tonight? You're never going to make it if you shout on Wednesday, and then by the Sunday rolls around, you're on life support already. You're not going to make it. Because your emotion is going to make you feel like an eagle sometimes. And sometimes it's going to make you feel like you was a dove that wanted to fly away. But that don't have anything to do with my feet. I think God's taken us on a journey the last few weeks. There are people that will never... When you step up in God, you realize this, you're leaving somebody behind. Not everybody's going to go with you, young people. You get on fire for God, you may leave your boyfriend behind. You may leave your girlfriend back there. You start getting closer to God. You start getting on fire for God. You may have to change jobs. You may have to do all kinds of things. You might leave your best friend behind when you really start getting on fire for God. Amen. But here's what I know. Amen. Once you find a new place in God, amen, don't go back down. Amen. This sad. Amen. To watch somebody that shouted and knew the power of God, amen, that knew the joy of the Lord, amen, to watch them go back down into the cesspool of worldliness and still try to act like they're having church. They're not confusing me, and they're not even convincing themselves. They keep going on and on and on, trying to convince themselves. But what you really need to do when you get that spot in Jesus, I really feel like over the last month and a half, some of you step up. You're different than you were the last Sunday of last year. You've grown in God. You're closer to God. You praise God more. You feel more fire for God. I'm telling you, don't go back down. Amen. Stay right there. Amen. Drive a stake and stay right there. Amen. Don't be up and down. But say, I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. Amen. There may be folks that don't like you shouting all around them. They may not like the way you worship. They may not like you clapping their hands or your hands. But I got news. I don't like sitting like a lump on a log either. I don't like deadness. I don't like quietness. I don't like that man that's at the gate. I'd rather see him running around and shouting and dancing and rejoicing and praising God than sitting there saying, why can't the church help me? Why can't the church help me? But when the church really got the power of God, oh, When the church really got the power of God, they started looking for people that were down. Oh, help me, Jesus. When you really get the true Spirit of God, you're going to start looking for those that are down and out. You're going to start looking for sinners. You're going to start looking for backsliders. You're going to start looking for your brother or sister that's going through trouble. And you're going to start trying to lift them up. You really will. It is impossible. Did I say the word impossible? I did, didn't I? It is impossible to really be sanctified and be selfish spiritually. Because Jesus was not selfish. The Spirit of God is not selfish. What would happen if the 225 people in this room tonight began to look for people this week we could lift up? Some of you'd have to change your phone calling patterns. Matter of fact, some of you probably have to quit calling, period. How many believe you're going to find some people that are down and out this week? Don't go up and tell them. Yeah, I know my uncle died of that. Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that. Yeah, just hang on. It'll be all right. You'll get through it. May take you a few years, but you'll be all right. Reach down. Begin to pick them up. I believe we got the answer. Do you? Do you? I believe we got the answer. And really, friend, you can test your spirituality that if you're still always talking about you, you're not very spiritual. You're not very spiritual. Because once I'm saved and I become a servant of Jesus Christ and He's the Lord of my life, He begins to direct me. Well, you're the pastor. You're supposed to. Oh, no. There's a host of people in here that are great at lifting people up. There's a host of you in this church. And I say, come on, right now, while the Spirit of the Lord is helping us, while the Spirit of God is moving in our services, while we pledged last week that we're going to make this a house of prayer and not of anything else, let's find some that are down and out. Begin to reach down. Would you do it? Would you do it? Will we do it? Oh, it's work now. I know it. It's work now. How many is willing to lift somebody up?